Winner all of life.
When I'm local, on my grind on the go-go. Wanna get mine, it's immortal. Till the shit blow like a C4L.
Welcome to the Inner Ho Uprising.
Yes, bitches. The podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of one polyamorous black feminist ho living in New York City and her two bestest of friends. We have got with me today Brianna, a 24-year-old professional by day and ho by night. Yes, bitch, hoe it up. And we've got Akua, a 20-something. Bitch, you're 24 too. Like, why did you write that in there? The fuck? Mental health grad student and Inner Ho Uprising 2016 Ho of the Year.
Yes.
We are in the presence of greatness. I guess we can say it now. Akua is a sugar baby.
Yeah.
Yes, and Brianna is a wannabe sugar baby.
Aspiring.
Oh, I'm so sorry. And Brianna is an aspiring.
Put some respect on my title.
I'm just gonna shit on you today. I'm so sorry. I just have to shit on someone and it's gonna be you. No, I'm kidding. This is season two of the Inner Ho Uprising podcast and is the search for a new co-ho. So if you guys haven't been listening, Shanika's not here anymore. That's okay. Mm-hmm. We will move past it. We will be okay. R.I.P. No, I'm just kidding. She's not dead. But she's resting in peace. And every week we've got a new coho. And by the end of some trial period, you guys are going to vote for whoever you want the new coho to be or co-host to be. It could potentially be you two guys.
It's going to be me.
Oh, shit. And now we begin a friendly competition. So if you're a new listener, we've got a number of segments. We start with Bay of the Week. We go into Ho of the Week. We go into Self-Care Tip of the Week. Then we do Fuck That, which is our current events topics. Then we go into Fuck It, which is our topic of the day. Today, we're going to talk about sugar babies. Then we go into Fuck Me, which is where we talk about our sexual lives. And then we go into Fuck You, where we talk about you guys' sexual lives. Y'all ready to do this thing?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, cool. Starting out with Bay of the Week.
I picked Trey Songz this week because I've always loved him.
Okay.
And I'm actually really excited for his show on VH1.
Is that a real thing? Because I heard that that was just a promotion for his
album. I have no idea if it's a real thing or not, but I love watching the commercials for it because it's so funny to me.
What happened?
They're just like, I first saw it when they had like that VH1 Marathon of Love when they were playing like Flavor of Love, like every season. And it was funny because it was like the girls were like, I can see our life together. We're meant to be together. It just looks kind of stupid. And I love dating shows like that because they seem stupid to me.
And then you actually get to look at Trey Songz and like not Flavor Flav.
Yeah.
Sorry to body shame a nigga, but he's ugly as fuck.
He was like three times the age of those girls. It was odd.
It was a really weird situation. Akua, your Bay of the Week?
My Bay of the Week is Jordan Peele because Get Out, and that's all I need to
that
say.
That is all you need to say. And if you haven't seen Get Out, Brianna, the fuck?
I'm getting on it.
You're like a weirdo.
No, I'm not.
It's been a full 7 days.
Someone promised to see it with me, so I'm waiting for that person.
You talking about us?
No.
Oh, okay. Because I was like, bitch.
We're already at the theater.
You paying for me this time? No, I'm just kidding. All right. So, Ho of the Week is our segment where we shout out hoes, fans. And today's hoes of the week are Mr. Al Sweets and Rock the Bell, who gave us some super cool iTunes reviews. If you listen to the Inner Ho Uprising on iTunes, it would be really nice if you give us 5 stars and review us. You've also got Shade in Full, who gave me some Inner Ho Uprising gear advice. I'll talk about the gear later. We got Ogu, who paid a bitch, and we got Ricardo of the Feel Free to Disagree podcast, who I had the opportunity to be featured on. And you guys can listen to that. I'll link it in the description below. Self-care tip of the week. You guys ready to take care of yourself?
Definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
There was a little bit of hesitation, and I'm concerned.
I was drinking my wine.
So the self-care tip of the week that I have picked is look in the mirror naked. And I did that earlier this week for the first time in a really long time, because as you guys might know, I don't have a mirror in my room. So I went to the back room and I just looked at myself and I was like, oh shit.
Looking at them
gains. Is that what you are working with over there?
Looking at them gains after she snatched my edges.
See, that's the second part of this. I don't actually... Okay, I put a video on Snapchat PRing my deadlift, and Akua, you can talk about it.
Well, let me tell y'all what happened. This morning at a crisp 7 a.m., I went on Snapchat, and Samantha snatched my edges with that deadlift. She deadlift two grown, maybe me and Brianna, somebody the weight of me and Brianna combined.
It was 210 pounds.
That's me and Brianna combined.
Do you guys deadlift?
Not in a while. I've
child,
lost
please,
my...
I can barely lift my purse.
Brianna, I've seen you lift your purse. Don't lie to these people.
There's a struggle
no
on
alternative
the inside.
Facts on the... Oh, no.
There's a struggle on the inside, okay?
Well, okay, so my second self-care tip of the week was do fitness goals based on your actual fitness as opposed to how you look. Because I've been going to the gym since, like, September, like, consistently. But I really started to go ham. Me and Akeem started to go ham with a six-week, like, strength training program. I don't think I look any different from when I began that thing. I feel like a good way to keep motivating yourself to, like, keep working out is to, like, have strength goals for yourself. That's what's been inspiring me to keep going. Like, the fact that I'm actually feeling myself getting stronger. And it makes me want to, like, do something good for myself, which is working out. So...
Yeah. That's good. I was impressed. I was like, look at Sam.
Yeah, bitch.
Right? She could protect me.
Kiss the gun.
You made me want to spit out the milkshake I had yesterday.
Wait, no.
I need to go to the nearest gym ASAP.
No, and then also, like, another way, like, it's just good to take care of yourself. So I feel like if you want to work out because you want to look a different way, that's okay too, but that's not to, like, body shame anyone saying, like, the way that you look isn't okay.
It just depends on how you feel about yourself.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But I still don't want people to, like, even if you want to change something about your body, like, still look at yourself in the mirror and love yourself before you change. I'm sorry. I'm not good at the self-care tip of the week shit. That's why I need a better co-host. That's, like, not myself. Okay, so let's talk about some housekeeping things. We got the podcast meetup coming event. God, why am I so bad
the
with you guys?
The podcast meetup event coming up.
What the fuck is going on?
Make you nervous.
I'm most comfortable with you guys.
Are you getting hot, Sam?
Yes.
A little titillated.
Take it off.
Yeah, yeah. Have sex with me. Oh my God. I'm trying to make this an orgy. I'm so uncomfortable. So we've got the podcast meetup event coming up March 11th. That is called Pod In Live NYC. It is run by the lovely ladies over at Tea with Queen and Jay. So you must RSVP to come to that event. But if you do, you get to meet podcasts like myself. Brianna and Akul will be there. My coho Rodeca from the first week will be there. Lucas, OG original, might be there. And you guys also will get to see people like The Cure Podcast, We Come From Queens, obviously Tea with Queen and Jay, The Bodega Podcast, Queer Women of Color, Extraordinary Negroes. Another thing, if you guys remember, I had a web series at one point in time.
Yes, I loved
you
did. It.
Yes. You saw it?
Of course I did.
Thank you. Did you see it?
Not all of them.
Bitch, you will not be the coho.
I support Sam all day, every day.
She just shrugged. Well, this is something that Shanique and I used to talk about back in the first season, and it actually premiered November, like in the first week of November, but it got pulled from the site that it was on, Black and Sexy TV, because they wanted to re-release it at another date, and that date has come. So if you go to blackandsexytv.vhx, you can sign up for like a 14-day free trial, or you can sign up for Black and Sexy for the rest of your life, and you can watch all 5 episodes of Dope Deconstruction starring me and former co-host Shanique Pell. Inner Ho Uprising is now on Spotify and Audioboom. Those are two podcast hosting websites, and also our main RSS feed is now on Audioboom and not SoundCloud. So before, you might have seen like 6,000 listens on SoundCloud, and now you'll see like 700 listens. But that's because the RSS feed has switched over to Audioboom. Also, pay a bitch, if you guys would like to donate to my cause, you can go to innerhouseuprising.com and you can pay me on PayPal, or you can buy some merchandise. You guys ready for Fuck That?
Yes.
Fuck that. Brianna put a little spin on it. I don't know if I liked that. But I appreciate the fact that you did it. This is our current events segment of the day, and we're starting off today with...
Would you like to introduce new and exciting erotic products into your relationship? Then make sure you choose the UK's most trusted online condom store.
The smart cock ring that tells your dick stats and potentially warns you against STDs.
I'm so excited about
this. Still waiting to find out where I can get it.
Online for $75.
Yeah.
That's $75 well spent.
Is it? I don't know how I feel about this thing. So let's talk about it. This thing is called the Icon. So creative. by a company called British Condoms, also very creative. I just feel like, what are you going to do, like, take over the world? You're going to colonize the whole world and make them speak English? So they've created this condom ring that you wear at the base of your dick, like any old cock ring. And in it, they have nano chip sensors that measure variables like the girth of your penis, the number of thrusts that you're doing in one session, the average velocity of your stroke game, I guess. Like how,
I guess,
yeah. Is that what velocity mm-hmm. means?
Yeah.
How fast
speed.
It's going?
It's like mm-hmm. the speed.
Okay. I'm sorry. I haven't been to science class in a long time. The calories burned during sex, your skin temperature, and the frequency of your sex sessions. It also will fasten the condom at the base of your penis, which I think... your condom should already be fastened at the base of your penis.
No? I mean, you know, not everybody wears, like, the correct size condoms.
So you're going to buy a large condom and then put a $74 cock ring around it so it fits?
I am not buying anything.
That's going through great lengths to make people think you have a big dick. Akua, you have some experience with people wearing two large condoms.
Oh, yes, the whole Magnum condom rant.
Yes.
Though this will help fasten this if these people
the seatbelt for your condom
if people do not change their ways, I do not condone that. Mm-hmm. Once again, buy condoms that fit.
There you go.
But in regards to the whole device, I feel like for those who have problems with small dick niggas, you know, and you don't know how to broach that subject, the stats, this is numbers now. This is quantifiable data that helps you open up this dialogue. Mm-hmm. So now you can, instead of just saying, babe, you know, you're just not big enough, or what, however you would broach that conversation, now you're just like, well, this says the girth of your penis. It's such and such. If you have problems with a man who just...
you have the actual statistics to bring
yes,
to him.
Yes, if he comes too quick, can prove to him that his dick is little and he comes fast. Without debate, you cannot debate these numbers.
There's nothing wrong with having a
he
little
will never
dick.
Listen there to isn't. You. They will never listen.
But when you try.
Bitch, that cock ring is broken is what they're going to say.
They will dead ass say that. That is some fuckboy shit.
What you mean, son? What a cock ring know if I can see my dick right here?
Oh my God.
But no, I do get what you're saying, because like there's a guy who could lie about having a small penis. So if you say your dick is not big enough for me,
not even it's
we have
like,
the actual statistics.
It's like when you try to broach the conversation, you know, masculinity is so fragile. Mm-hmm. Now, instead of, you know, his dick is little, you just want to switch positions that, you know, help. Mm-hmm. It's now your pussy stink and this, that, and the third.
Yeah.
Because they're vindictive and spiteful and children. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Akua hates men.
She's so angry.
I love men. I love men. But, you know, they can be fuckboys. You know, they can be very rude mm-hmm. when it's not warranted. So now, hopefully, numbers help, you know.
Oh, we're going to talk about that later in a more serious way, but I don't think numbers ever help. It's like, oh, hey, white people, 400 black people got shot by the police last year.
Well, they don't care.
There you go. So do numbers really help? I don't know.
Numbers will only help logical people.
That.
Yes.
That is the point. That is the point. That's the biggest diss to men.
Well, if that's the case, then this cock ring ain't gonna do nothing.
But this cock ring has an antibodies filter that can detect STI antigens and proteins and send an alert to your phone when, you know.
What if they are the one with the STD?
Yeah, exactly. What happens? You get like a little text message. This nigga got the clap. The fuck you gonna do now?
My thing was like, how long is it gonna take send you that information?
Exactly. Because it takes me like 2 weeks to get my results.
Exactly. It's not gonna happen while you still like in the motions.
I don't know, but see, I feel like that was an Akua question because you're like a public health person. Does it actually take a long time for test results to come back, or is it because all of our results need to be tested? Like, what is the test? What the fuck are they doing?
Honestly, much of it is people. Everybody works. Everyone has a job. People are
the
slow.
Backlog.
So the actual test. This is rudimentary, people. Rudimentary.
It's more than what I know, though.
They put it into a machine, kind of like when you take blood and it spins.
Yeah.
So it's like the machine does it quick, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Mm-hmm. You know, people to get the results out and where it needs to be is the problem. If they mail it to you, you know, you got to account that in. Mm-hmm. People typing up reports, people eating while they should be working. So
here's an STD test and my McChicken sandwich.
So it's really just people. If you left it to computers, we probably get it in a day or two. You leave it to people, it takes about 7 days or okay. more.
So your cock ring will probably tell you like the next morning, which seems a bit ineffective. But at least you're wearing
it's
a
better
condom.
Than it's better than waiting 2 weeks. Like I've waited 2 weeks right. for test results.
Yeah, well, that can be scary.
What if?
But that means you have to fuck the person to get the results. Oh,
don't you always?
Oh, thank you.
What? I don't know what you guys are talking about. and you might think, what does a dick owner do with this item? So you can plug your cock ring into your computer, or you can download the app, which is available on both iPhone and Android, and you can upload all your dick stats, and I guess it just goes on the app, and then what, you like compare dick sizes virtually?
Like, I feel like I see I feel like I see this like being attached to, like Tinder or something.
Yes.
So it's like you see the guy, you swipe up, and then there's all his like fuck information.
My girth.
Right. That would help though.
6 inches. That's a really big God.
They should get together and work on that.
Yeah, no, that's probably gonna happen if this thing ever comes out. So you can order this online for $74, but you can pre-order it, but they've not actually said like when it comes out or anything like that. And they also haven't said whether or not the STI thing is real. So is this a thing that exists, or did we just talk about nothing for
science
8 minutes?
Science fiction.
It would be a good story. What would you guys do with a pussy Fitbit type situation?
Would that work? Like a NuvaRing? Like, do I insert it?
I guess it would be a NuvaRing. I don't know what it would be detecting, though.
I feel like all I'd want to measure is, like, how quick it takes to snap back.
What the hell does that mean? You have to explain what you're doing. This is a podcast.
I don't even know how to explain that.
Like what, your vagina opening and going back?
Okay.
Is that a thing that happens? I thought that was fiction. I literally was just talking about that on Feel Free to Disagree.
It's like a really weird thing that happens sometimes.
Do you mean snap back like intercourse or snap back after baby? Because, you know.
Ha! Huh. I didn't think about after baby.
Let's talk about both.
I mean, I don't feel like your vagina opens that much during intercourse, unless he has like a mandingo or something, then. But after baby, you know, they've shown you the pictures where you open up to like the size of a cantaloupe or something. So that would be good for that.
Roughly how long would it take to snap back?
That depends on genetics.
I don't know, like naturally, fitness. I don't even know how it takes naturally.
So after the baby's out, it just doesn't close up?
It starts then, but to feel complete. They say don't have sex for 6 weeks because, you know, you're still bleeding for a very, 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 very long time.
What?
You are bleeding for a very long time, and it is.
I once bled for 27 days on a bad birth control.
Damn. Was it like spotty?
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, it was spotty.
No, but it's like day one for like 3 weeks.
No,
like a faucet is on, and it's just, you've had a baby up there for 9 months. What do you think is up there, y'all?
What should have came out with him though?
Water.
Okay, now that we're talking about pregnancy, I have questions for you. Who has been pregnant? Disclaimer: when your water breaks, is it like on shows where it's just like, and there's a puddle on the floor?
Well, I don't know. My water didn't break.
Oh yes.
Had a C-section, so I don't know. Okay. But I've heard that sometimes it's just like a trickle, like peeing. Uh-huh. I doubt. I mean,
it's not like a bucket of water.
That's what they do in shows, though.
That's what they do in shows. I feel like to make it dramatic.
Yeah.
Okay.
But most people say it's like they're peeing on themselves, or like kind of like a rush of discharge. So you feel it, but it's not like
you're just a horny ass nigga.
You're not about to.
Does it feel different? I don't
know. I'm sure it feels different. Kind of think, have you ever stood up and your period came rushing down?
Yeah.
Yes.
Think of it like that.
Okay.
So you're aware something came out. Because
it's
check.
Not doing. Got it.
And okay. If it's not baby, your period.
It's a baby's finger.
No.
Mom. I'm ready.
Hello.
But like, what is that? What is the water? What is your water breaking?
It's the,
I don't know anything about
amniotic fluid, right?
Yes, that surrounds the baby.
When did you learn that?
In like sixth grade?
Biology class or
okay,
something?
Okay, I went to a really bad middle school, but cool, you were there too.
They showed us that video, sixth grade, Samantha.
I wasn't paying attention. Sorry.
Trigger warning for violence against trans women.
Every time one of my trans sisters get killed, don't nobody never want to do no march. Don't nobody never want to get involved. Let a black male get killed or shot by a police or something. You have everybody want to talk about it on the TV screen. You have everybody want to get involved. It's just crazy, like... And it's sad for, like, it always takes for a death or a tragic for us to come
it
together.
Could have been me. Could have been you, Chicago.
And it shouldn't.
To sadder news, much, much, much sadder news. Trifling-ass niggas is killing transgender women, and it ain't right.
Jesus.
Yeah. So this kind of just happens throughout the year, every single year. But the reason why I want to talk about it this week was because 4 transgender women were murdered in the past week, and 3 of them were murdered in Louisiana for some odd reason.
4 in a week is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely ridiculous. 3 in one place is absolutely ridiculous. And that's what we know of. You know, when people die, you have to wait on the media to give you that information. You have to wait on reports. But when it's trans people, you know, they could be misgendered, mm-hmm. you know, so now you're not getting accurate statistics on it. Mm-hmm. They may not even be reported depending on how they died, if they were doing sex work or something, you know, mm-hmm. that goes unreported all the goddamn time. Mm-hmm. So it's like, we know 7, it could be 14.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know about it actually until you put in the Google Doc and I read it. Mm-hmm. Then I went and I tried to look up some stuff about it this morning, and there was surprisingly not a lot of information about mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. Like, really all I found was like excerpts from the police reportings about it. Mm-hmm. And it never said anywhere, because I know you said that they were like misgendered. A mm-hmm. lot of them when it was reported, none of them ever like said anything about that. Mm-hmm. And none of them are trying to say that it might be a hate crime.
Yeah.
That's the which one thing I hate. Clearly there's a pattern forming here.
Yeah, exactly.
If it was one person, then maybe you can get away with like it was just a random homicide, but clearly something's wrong. Mm-hmm. And they're just not addressing that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's delve into that. So in terms of like statistics and stuff like that, it is really hard to find transgender statistics about transgender hate crime and transgender homicide for like a bunch of reasons. But like you said, people are misgendered. So if you just say a man was killed and you don't put the details like a transgender woman was killed because someone thought that they were a cisgender woman and then killed them when they found out they were a transgender woman, then that's not going to be reported as a hate crime. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to get tracked that way. And then in terms of like general violence, transgender people kind of have, especially transgender women have, especially transgender women of color, especially poor transgender women of color, have a history of like when they report bad things that happen to them to the police either don't believe them, attack them as well, or like it doesn't go through the process of being categorized as a hate crime and stuff like that. So statistics are kind of skewed, but here's what we have for now. 2016 was the year in which we saw the most reported transgender homicides. And then also, so the average person, the likelihood of you getting murdered is 1 in 19,000 in this country. Mm-hmm. For a transgender Black woman, it's 1 in 2,600. So clearly there is an issue, right? Some other statistics about transgender hate crimes and transgender homicides. LGBT people are 2 times as likely to be the victims of a hate crime than Black or Jewish people, which is kind of a weird statistic because you can have Black LGBT people and Jewish LGBT people. 54% of transgender homicide victims were transgender women of color, so there's like more targeting the deeper you get. And then in terms of just like violence and how things affect people, 41% of transgender and gender nonconforming people have attempted suicide, as opposed to 1.6% of all people. So shit is just fucked up, right? Transgender people are 1.7 times more likely to be victims of sexual assault, and that's based on statistics that are actually reported. Mm-hmm. And because we know about the climate for transgender people and police, it's probably way higher than that because people aren't reporting stuff. And then also, transgender people are more likely to live in poverty. 1/5 of all transgender people experience homelessness, and 90% are harassed while on the job.
I mean, all of that is absolutely staggering.
Like, it's disheartening.
It is really disheartening. I cried several times while doing the research for the subject. But I don't know. Like, is that something that you guys, like how you didn't know about the homicides, is that something you guys thought about or think about or have even considered, like, in your day-to-day?
Well, I do a lot of thinking about the mental health of transgendered people. Mm-hmm. And that's actually something I'm trying to get into as a internship. Mm-hmm. Because I know someone who's currently working with that population. So I'm trying to get in on her site, you know, to get into that. Though they aren't people of color, which is my, you know,
why
my
aren't
iffy.
They people of color? Are they specifically like for transgender white people?
No, let me say a majority of them, because they're deep in Long Island. So, you know, just gotcha. The demographics. Mm-hmm. I'm sure, you know, there are Black people in Long Island. There are Spanish people in Long Island. There's mm-hmm. people of color in Long Island. But just a big thing you've said is access. You know, access to Long Island to specifically is, you know, hard if you don't have a car, mm-hmm. you know, so getting people of color there would be difficult, but they help with services for homelessness and jobs and things like that. So that's just kind of the frame I see things from mm-hmm. and how I can get involved. But the numbers, still the numbers we have, because who knows yeah. what's really reported.
What the actual
numbers are. Yeah, it's just, it's sad.
Mm-hmm. Well, normally when I, like, hear things about this, I always, to, like, give me a better, like, frame of mind, I'll put things in situations that I can relate to. And a lot of, all I really do with my life is go to work and go to school. Mm-hmm. So, my job is a very male-dominated space. Mm-hmm. And there are when situations like this happen in the news, and if we'll talk about it at work, my guys will say, like, really ignorant shit. Mm. And that it bugs me to no end. So I find myself sometimes, like, trying to educate these men about, like, the ignorant fuckery that they're spewing.
Yeah.
Doesn't work.
It does not work.
Doesn't work. They're all, like, way past middle age. A lot of them are West Indian and stubborn. A couple of them are, like, redneckish.
Oh, perfect.
Some of them. It's just, it's so great. Difficult.
Yeah.
Talking to a brick wall, ain't it?
Oh, my God. You have no idea.
It's funny that you say that they're middle aged and stuff like that. I don't even think that makes a difference. Just talking to any, like,
just cisgender people stuck man in that.
Who doesn't want to be woke, mm-hmm. it's like talking yeah. to a brick wall. And it's, like, emotionally frustrating.
It's the most frustrating thing.
Yeah. Touch on that a little bit later. For now, I just wanted to, like, say the names of the people who were killed and talk about them a little bit, because I think it's, like you have to humanize these people,
yes.
right?
Right on.
So we've got Misha Caldwell, who was a 41-year-old trans... These are all transgender women of color, so I mm-hmm. won't even say that. Misha Caldwell was a 41-year-old woman. Jamie Lee Arrow, 28-year-old woman. JoJo Stryker, 23. Jaquarius Holland, 18 years old. That one really fucked me up. Kiki Collier, also known as Tiara Richmond, 24 years old. China Doll Dupree was 31 years old, and Sierra McElveen was 26 years old.
They're all so young.
I was about to say the same thing. Like, first, RIP, but they're literally in our age range.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that is it's crazy. Scary.
Exactly. And then there's, like, other things where it's, like, there's too many things that you see in every case. Like, all of them are young women. Most of them are Black women. And then the way that they die, like, it's murder, of course, but every single one, it's like body was found lying on the side of a road, body was found in the middle of a parking lot and things like that. Or, like, Jamie Lee Arrow, she was just, like, left in her home and someone, like, smelled her body several days later. Like, it's just, like, that's how you can kind of, like, tell it's not just, well, the numbers alone, one out of 2,600, it's like, well, this probably has to be a hate crime or people are targeting them or whatever. But the way that transgender women are killed, when it usually is because of an instance where they're in a situation where a man either didn't know they were transgender mm-hmm. or felt bad about it afterwards or something like that, like, there's, like, this kind of, like, it's like a passionate hatred that goes into killing them and just, like, discarding their bodies afterwards. And it's fucking disgusting. Like, I don't know.
It's complete disregard for them as humans.
Exactly.
As exactly. women.
Exactly. So just to talk about the issue, because it is an issue, like, what are some of the things that you guys think go into this being a problem?
First and foremost, masculinity so fragile. Mm-hmm. Like, they feel that, you know, they were tricked into being attracted to a transgender woman. If you claim to be heterosexual and here's a woman presenting as a woman, mm-hmm. would you not be attracted to them? Mm-hmm. No one's tricking you into anything. Mm-hmm. You saw the outside and decided you liked it.
Firstly, but then also, like, not saying that cisgender straight men who are attracted to transgender women are gay, because they're literally not, because that's a woman, but, like, is being gay so wrong that if somebody accidentally thinks you're gay or you're in a situation in which you might be perceived as gay, that you have to react to that violently? This is the point where you're going to kill someone? Like, you're going to take someone else's life?
I was literally having the same conversation with my dad this morning.
Literally Talk having the it. Same conversation with my sugar daddy.
Oh, no.
These Jamaican men, though.
These Jamaican men,
like,
though.
I love my dad and everything, but Jesus, have mercy on my soul.
Talk about these conversations.
It was just something I walked in on. He was talking to somebody about something, and I heard him say, like, he can't say that he finds him, he can't say that another man is attractive. Mm-hmm. And then I just jumped in the conversation not knowing what the heck they were talking about. And I was like, you can say if someone's physically attractive, someone's mm-hmm. physically attractive. That doesn't mean that you're attracted to them. Mm-hmm. If someone looks good, then that just because they exist and they look nice that day, that means they took pride in their appearance.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you're attracted to that person. And Daddy said something like, he can never say that another man is attractive because he doesn't want anybody else to think that he's gay. And I was like, why does it matter? I was like, that's exactly what I said. I was like, you are married with three kids.
Yeah.
You're not a gay man. So at this point, what does it matter what anybody thinks of you? He's like, I care what they think. And I was like, that's not okay.
Yeah. Especially because of the implication. Like, if someone thought my name was Brianna, I wouldn't be like, what? No one in the world can ever think my name is fucking Brianna. Because there's nothing wrong with the name Brianna. So, like, what does that say about how you feel about gay people if it... everything you do has to be centered on whether or not people think you're gay? It means you hate them.
I don't think they don't ever think of it like that. They don't ever make that connection.
Exactly.
They'll say, I'm not against gay people, but don't call me gay.
Exactly.
Like,
we have to like learn how to decode our own thoughts and the things that we say and do and realize what that means for like other people, because this is all like feeding into this culture in which gay people and transgender people are other and like and ultimately deserve to be killed. So, or deserve to kill someone if you think that you're gay or something like that. I hope that made sense. Who were you going to say? Or what was your conversation
with Sugar
Daddy like? Well, he's an open homophobe.
Yeah.
Open homophobe. Mm-hmm. And we got into the conversation of homophobia and its presence in Jamaica, because he's from Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it went back all historically how... sodomy was used to train male slaves and things like that, and how that's helped shape the concept of it.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there were, what were those places called? The plantations or the farms? What were they
called? Yeah, well, plantations.
No, there was like a name for the ones where they send the
sex farms. Or what? I don't remember if they had something an actual
like
that.
It was
name.
Like buck breaking, they would call it. There we go.
And you guys have actually seen this, because this sounds like Hotepian news.
No. This is actual documented news.
Wow.
Of what happened. They would always say that slavery was worse in the Caribbean. That's mm-hmm. where they would send the rough slaves, you know, the ones who weren't so docile or so...
I get what you mean.
Easy. Submissive.
Yeah, submissive. Thank you. And I'm not saying it was rampant, but it did happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that it was common, but these things did happen. And that was a way to train, you know, male slaves that were just aggressive. Well, I'm a slave. I'm going to be aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
And so sodomy became viewed as, you know, taking away one's masculinity, because then they lost respect in the eyes of the other slaves, I guess. That's the idea behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of message is embedded, that if you like to take penis up the ass,
mm-hmm.
you are somehow less masculine.
Or if you give penis in the ass.
You're a slave master?
All right.
I like that line.
You're topping.
It was a direct parallel.
I'm just kidding. Disclaimer. But okay.
It became this whole thing that basically if you like anything sexual with a man, you're less masculine,
mm-hmm.
which then makes you feminine.
Yeah.
And
that's the worst thing.
Which is
be,
the worst thing
the
you
patriarchy.
Can be. And then what I ended up, well, what the basis of the conversation was, what my end was that men don't like women. They like pussy.
Yeah.
And
that's a fact.
Pussy just happens to be attached to some women.
Mm-hmm.
And if they, because he's misogynistic as well, very misogynistic. And that was why I said that to him, because, you know, the first thing he'll say is all women are evil. And I'm like,
then why are you with me?
Because he
likes you.
Hello. you see where the connection goes.
Is he really
you,
with her or just beams. A vagina?
Could you imagine somebody going on a date with, like, a vagina?
If they could, they would,
that's
Sam.
So weird.
They would.
We you would just sit on your head the whole night.
That's ridiculous. Are there other instances of casual transphobia that you guys see in your day-to-day? Because I feel like that definitely leads to it, you know? Like, people say things like, oh, well, you know, I don't hate trans people, I'm just joking or whatever, and they'll, like, casually drop a slur here and there. But if someone who is attracted to trans women hears that all the time, and they're in a situation where they're with a trans woman, and then they see someone that they know, it's fair game to kill someone like that because of all of these messages that you're taking in.
I feel like all transphobic messages are very blatant. It's never, oh, I don't have a problem with these people. It's always, I have a problem with these people. Mm-hmm. I have a problem with a man whose sex is male at birth, mm-hmm. who wants to dress as a woman. Mm-hmm. Why would you want to do that? Mm-hmm. That's what I hear. I don't ever hear, no, I don't have a problem with them. They shouldn't just pee at home or something. No, you never hear that. It's, I have a problem. They need to hide.
Yeah, you're right about that. I feel like transphobia is more blatant than...
Your homophobia.
Regular homophobia or your regular racism. That's like the only fair game of people where it's like, nah, that's a no-go.
My whole thing is like, I just don't understand why it bothers people. Mm-hmm. I just really don't get it. I don't understand why homosexuality bothers people. I don't understand why any of it, like, why are you bothered by it? You live over there and that man lives over there. Why is his existence bothering you? There's something wrong with you internally, mentally, and emotionally that his existence bothers you.
That's how ingrained with the bullshit we are, though. Because, like, you'll talk to someone who's an easygoing-ass person, and you'll talk to them about something like gay people or transgender people, and they'll start yelling at you. Mm-hmm. It's like, you don't even care about anything. It's funny because you don't even care about actually protecting people. Like, when women get killed and stuff like that, you don't have anything to say. You're not yelling about that, but, like, you hating this certain group of people... It becomes fucking violent, and it's weird.
I legit just have a problem understanding people like that.
Yeah.
Because I'm not like that.
You're a nice person.
And I'm surrounded
person.
By people like you guys, who aren't like that. And I just, like, what is the, I don't know.
Yeah.
It gets me so frustrated.
Yeah. It is a frustrating thing or whatever. When you do see instances of transphobia, are there ever times, or is it often times where you, like, turn a blind eye to it or don't address it?
Yes, and that depends on who I'm talking to. Like, with my sugar daddy, you can talk to him, but there's no getting into his head. He's a middle-aged West Indian man. Mm-hmm. His views are his views. There's no persuading or showing him the humanity in it. So if I know kind of the climate with the person I'm talking with, you know, some of the things I say are, you know, kind of filtered. Like, I will push the fact that these are people, you know, first and foremost, and their lifestyle is none of your business. But how in deep or passionate I get about it depends on who I'm talking to.
Mm-hmm. How about you?
I feel like the same thing with her, like she said, because most of it, like I said, happens with that work. I'll just, I guess after a point, if I feel like they're not, like, hearing what I'm saying, I'll just stop talking to them out of frustration. Because some people, I just feel like there's no hope for them forever understanding.
What about when you guys, like, see certain stuff online? Like, there's these, you know, those memes where it'll show, like, it could just be a pretty woman, but it's probably, like, a pretty transgender woman, and it's, like, 3 minutes into Netflix and chill, and she tells you she a man, what you doing? Like, stupid shit like that. And then people kind of, like, get in on the comments, and they're just like, nah, son, nah, it's gay, blah, blah, blah. Have you guys ever seen stuff like that? I see that all the time.
I've seen it. I generally don't comment on things that my friends don't share.
Okay.
Like, just random things, like, where, like, the 50 million people comment on it. I generally don't comment there. If it's something that, like, I don't know, like, you shared, then I would say something to you or someone else I know.
Like,
and
Sam,
probably
you're
say
being
something.
A bigot.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've had to unfriend people.
Yeah.
Because they've said some real ignorant shit.
Do you tell them and then unfriend, or do you just unfriend?
I've gotten into, like, Facebook arguments with people and then, as a result, unfriended them because I don't need a type of negativity in my life.
Yeah.
I immediately unfriend, unfollow, report the post. I don't want to argue with people online. If those are your views, you're gonna say whatever, you're gonna throw some Adam and Eve bullshit at me. I'm not engaging in that. I do not need you in my life. I do not need to see that. Same if it's a post and it's like mad people on the internet, I'm not leaving a comment. I'm not arguing with internet trolls. I'm not doing any of that. Mm-hmm. None of that needs to be in my view.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I've found it hard. Like, I feel like, well, you guys knew me, and when I became woke, I was a really angry person at that time because people were, like, saying stupid shit all of the time, and I just learned about so much shit, and it was just, like, constantly arguing with people, and I hated it. And then it became like a weird thing where, like, people would see somebody saying stupid shit and, like, tag me in a post so I could tell their friend about stupid shit. Like, one time I was at a party and one of my friends was saying something dumb, and my other friend was like, oh, Sam, come get him, like I'm a fucking feminist watchdog and shit like that. So, like, over the past year or whatever, like, the hard year that I went through, I was kind of just like, fuck it, I'm not arguing with anybody about anything. Like, you can say the most bigoted thing to me and I'm just not going to engage with you. But now I feel like, and I've always like felt guilty about it, but like now with this current state of crisis, and it's already existed for transgender women, I just feel like a fucking piece of shit, like mm-hmm. not saying anything to anybody or not arguing with anybody who brings up these instances, even when I know that it's like the argument is not going to end in what I want it to end in. Mm-hmm. Like, I at least have to like make it known that that's bullshit that you're saying, and this is like false that you're saying. So yeah, that's what I'm gonna do. But I also understand like wanting to protect your mental space and stuff like that. So I don't know, it's hard. Like, I'm not sure if anything will change, sadly.
All you can do is hope and try.
Well, in the climate,
get drunk every night.
Oh,
that society's going in. I feel like there is change coming. Will I see it in my lifetime? I don't know.
Really, in this climate, we just elected a bigot.
Well, like, he don't exist in my world. Yeah, in spite of him.
In spite of that, I do see like a lot. Like, because of that. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm seeing more where there was just silence before. I feel like I'm seeing like more positivity
and more activism,
yeah,
around, you know, certain issues. Mm-hmm. You see a lot more people rallying and standing up, and you know, I appreciate that. But I'm looking outside of the U.S. and the progress happening there, because who knows what this little apricot man gonna do?
He's a pumpkin.
He a orange. He a Cheeto. He all of that. Mm-hmm. But
the flaming Cheetos.
You know what? The world, the other people in the world do as a response to whatever happens in America is what I'm really focusing on, because I have no hope for the next 4 years. Though Oprah may be running in 2020.
I saw that. Yeah.
She's going to get my vote.
She's our little beacon.
You know, because Michelle was like, nah. And I was like, Michelle?
Michelle knew what she was going to.
She would be lying, though. Everybody says nah, and then they actually run for president. So we'll see.
Oh, my God. Did you see them on vacation? They not coming back.
They are in full chill. You're right.
Can we talk about Obama in Trinidad? Oh, was that actually him?
Yes.
I love that.
Why didn't we go to Carnival this year?
Exactly. He's been wilding out.
Oh, man.
I love it. Segueing into what's going on with the country, because I feel like just in general, when you talk about transgender people, transgender black poor women aren't talked about. Mm-hmm. But we have been having like this large transgender discussion in the country. So what do you guys know about the bathroom bill situation?
I feel like, once again, why is it any of your business mm-hmm. where someone pees? Mm-hmm. Like, and I saw one comment on Facebook that was really funny. It was like, you know, the bathroom in your house been transgendered all your life.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
All this argument about transgender people are going to go in the bathroom and rape women. Women are already raped in the bathroom. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Transgender people want to pee. Mm-hmm. That is it.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, did you ever care about women getting raped before this very
nope,
instance?
No.
No.
That thought has never crossed
their mind.
They're
still getting raped whether transgender people get to use the bathroom or not.
Exactly.
Because it's not bathroom. The transgender people doing it.
First of all, it's the transgender people who are 1.7 times more likely to get raped.
Hello?
Or killed.
Hello.
And then also, like, the person who, like, removed the protections that the Obama administration had put in place. Donald Trump, known rapist.
No.
So who are you really trying to protect in this instance? Yeah, and that's like one of the main things that I have about the bathroom bill. But then also to bring it back to like the homicides thing, a lot of transgender women of color activists kind of get angry. Well, they do get angry mm-hmm. at people for talking about the transgender bathroom bill issue and then not talking about the homicides. And it seems like it's because of who the homicides and the hate crimes affect. Mm-hmm. Like, you're talking about white trans kids using the bathroom versus like your black trans sex worker who mm-hmm. might have gotten murdered by her John. So, you know, we should probably care about everybody. But then also the bathroom bill is still important because, like, let's say you are a transgender little girl who's going to the bathroom and you do happen to hear about the homicides. So that's like the way you start your day, and then your mom calls you a boy even though you're a girl, and then when you get to school you can't even like shit where you want to shit, and then it's a fucked up day.
All of it ties into the mental health of, you know, these individuals, you know. Mm-hmm. You're piling it on every day.
Exactly.
You're misgendered by your family if they don't accept you, you know. Now you have to hold your pee. Like, little things that we take for granted Exactly. All of a sudden, every day-to-day activity is an issue because of who you are.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Who and it sucks that you have to, like, think about other people by thinking about yourself first. Like, you can't just have empathy, but if you don't have empathy for transgender people, put yourself in that situation and see, like, how annoying of a day that would be. Mm-hmm. And I use the term annoying very loosely. So I wanted to bring in transgender, like, voices into the conversation, but none of us are transgender. Mm-hmm. So I have a, like, list from a trans femme activist named Jamal Lewis, and I'll, like, quickly read it. And I'll also link it in the bio. I'm sorry, I'll also link it in the description for this episode. And then I'll also link a whole bunch of cool black transgender people that I follow on the internet and who are really smart and I think that other people should follow too, just to get, like, different voices into mm-hmm. their perspective. So the list says, stop killing trans women and start encouraging men and all people to be honest about their desires. AKA stop calling men who are attracted to trans women gay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Investing in hiring, housing, and healing transgender and gender nonconforming folk. Addressing the ways that you might collude with and encourage transphobic behavior and violence, like if you tell a transgender joke, for example. Humanizing trans folk in your family, in your neighborhood, at your job, and anywhere you might see trans and gender deviant people. Affirming trans folk and reminding trans folk that they are worthy of an abundant life. Educating yourself and your kids and the people around you about gender, sexuality, and oppression altogether. Believing that a different world other than the one that you're taught to believe as static is possible. That's something that I have to work on. Mm-hmm. My hopeless ass. Understanding and connecting the deaths of trans women as a part of a long history of misogyny and violence against women. Mm-hmm. Acknowledging that you might desire trans folk and that's okay. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful thing. And then finally, realizing that these deaths are more about class, desire, and domination than they are about trans women tricking men, which is the dominant narrative that we're taught to believe. Did you guys know that there's a thing called trans panic, and that's an admissible excuse in court if you, like, kill or attack a transgender woman?
I think you spoke about that when that Navy officer. Oh, yeah.
Jennifer Loud being mm-hmm. killed by somebody named Pemberton or something yes. like that.
And I was just like, what? That's my only reaction. Just what? Because the stupidity of it, though, it lacks logic, and it's like, just because you're angry does not give you the right to kill anyone. I don't exactly. care what they identified as. It could have been a horse dressed up as a woman. No, you know.
Do they try to make it like the same thing as like a crime of passion?
It's literally called, it's the original thing is gay panic, and an extension of that is trans panic.
I didn't know about it until I read the Google Doc. Like, I didn't realize that was a thing. I knew people would try to, like, claim that, like, as a fear mm-hmm. or whatever, mm-hmm. but I didn't realize that you could use that
in court.
I think yeah. it's ultimately ridiculous, and then if you think about,
no, it's like, very ridiculous.
Yeah. If you think about, like, there's no cisgender women killing transgender men mm-hmm. when they find out that they're transgender men. So that's how you know it's like a masculinity so fragile type thing.
You go about that's your business. You know exactly. Either you want them or you don't.
Exactly. But then also, I think the most terrible instance of it was the case of Elon Nettles, who was killed by some fuckboy. I don't remember what his name was. But they weren't even in a sexual situation. She was walking on the street and he was street harassing her, yes. as niggas do. Mm-hmm. And then his friends were like, hey, yo, that's a man, or some fucked up shit like that. And then he hit her. She wasn't even engaging with him.
Minding her damn business.
That's not trans panic. That's fuckboyery.
You're being an asshole.
Like, that's fuckboyery.
You're being a murderer.
You're already verbally assaulting her as she is minding her business.
Exactly.
Like, and then want to get mad because you were attracted to her for being her.
Yeah.
How is that my fault?
Not yeah. because she said anything, because your friends said something to you. Like, at that point, you should just turn around and walked away. But mm-hmm. you're an asshole.
She didn't entice you. She didn't, you know, approach you. I see.
She was killed for being attractive.
Legit.
That's it.
It's fucked up.
How?
Yeah. couple other things. If you guys at home are a femme trans person or masculine trans person, haven't had a trans person as a coho yet, so if you would like to be on the show, email me at ihupodcast@gmail.com. And then other people of other intersectionalities as well, because, you know, we're trying to get all the perspectives up in here. Sorry for the competition, ladies.
It was happening anyway.
Also on March 6th, I believe, that's the Monday, right? There is a rally in New York City. It's called the Rally in Response to the Killing of 5 Transgender Women, although I think it's 7 transgender women who have been killed. But either way, I will link that in the description below, and you can go and show your solidarity for transgender people. That's it for Fuck That. Now on to
Fuck It.
That is our topic of the day, and we're talking about sugar babies with my sugar babies. What is a sugar baby? I'll let one of you guys take it.
You want a textbook or definition?
Whatever your definition is.
A sugar baby is someone who provides companionship and or sexual favors
in turn for monetary or
other gains.
Yeah.
Okay. So a sugar baby would link with a sugar daddy or a sugar
or
mama.
A sugar mama. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also, the gender, I guess the male version of sugar baby is sugar pup, which is something that
why they couldn't be a sugar baby.
Good point.
But when did a baby have a gender?
Right?
It's the baby.
These are good points. So, Akubo, what the fuck is going on?
You want the rundown of my current situation?
Yeah, you're a sugar baby, correct?
Yes.
When did that happen?
I'll say August of 2016 is okay. When we started talking. Mm-hmm. It wasn't very, you know, straightforward. It was an older gentleman. He's 15 years my senior. He was trying to get my attention, you know, trying to talk to me. And I was kind of leaving a past relationship then. So I wasn't really, you know, paying him much mind, but I did like the attention. Mm-hmm. And one of his ways to incite me was to suggest, you know, monetary favors and kind of support.
And what was he saying? Like, I'll give you
$20. Yeah, kind of like, you know, fuck with me. I got a house. I got a car. I got money, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm older. I'm distinguished. So, you know, I can, you know, take care of you. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, nigga, damn.
Really selling yourself there.
Why not? Yeah. I don't think he expected it to continue on that trajectory. That is the relationship for me. He's my sugar daddy. He is now becoming a little bit more emotionally involved, which means I will have to cut him off because okay. I'm not reciprocating that. And I don't want to lead anyone on, mm-hmm. you know, about my intentions.
So he wants more emotional of the emotional aspect from you. But is he taking away the money?
No.
Oh, okay. Just checking. Because you got to get out with like a one big bang, like one big gift before you go. So like, what did you think about the sugar baby lifestyle before you got into this? And what do you think about it now?
I mean, I've always joked about being a sugar baby. Like, yeah. I've always been like,
I think
just
that's one of our running jokes, like becoming a stripper.
Yes.
Or just any kind of sex work.
We were like this close to becoming sex phone operators.
This close. Literally just because times is hard and
it's a struggle out here.
Money is not free. Mm-hmm. And if I can get money for little effort and little time exactly. in the day, I will take it. Mm-hmm. After this experience, if we do, you know, go our separate ways, I was never actively looking for it. I don't think I'll continue to actively look for it. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm one of those quote unquote independent black women who got her own money. I just want to spend someone else's mm-hmm. and save mine.
Very economical. It's smart.
So it's like, I've never been actively looking. I don't think I will start actively looking. I've never, you know, had an opinion about people who are sugar babies or who have sex work. Get your dollars however you get your mm-hmm. dollars. I'm especially not paying your bills. Mm-hmm. I'm not offering you no dollars. So get your dollars how you get your dollars. Mm-hmm. And if both parties are aware of what's happening, what kind of relationship it is, then there's no shame in your game. Mm-hmm.
So your sugar daddy was aware? Like, he didn't
in the beginning, yes. He's caught feelings and he's trying to turn the relationship into something else.
Has there been a discussion about that, or is it just
shifting? Not yet. It's the other day he told me he loved me. He told me he was in love with me.
I thought he hated women.
He's confused. She's changing him. No. Because all women are still evil, and he doesn't hate them. Women are evil. Mm-hmm. That's the difference. Gotcha. We're just inherently evil, I guess. We come out the womb evil. Because I also did say, your daughter's a woman, and he was like, yeah, she evil too. I was like,
wow.
I was like, well, goddamn.
He said his daughter was evil?
Just by being a woman.
Oh my God.
So we're just inherently evil, and we're inherently bad drivers.
That's so annoying. Forget him. Says the person who can't drive, but whatever. That's so problematic because all women are evil. You have to raise that child.
Mm-hmm. Is he going to teach her that she's evil?
Exactly.
I don't know if he makes these comments around her. He's made it around me all the time, so I'm not, how...
My God.
He's very problematic because she's also his princess and he loves her and gives her everything. But just
it's literally the virgin whore dichotomy.
It's something.
It is something.
It don't make no sense. But women are evil. That's it inherently. She may become a good person. She could be the next Michelle Obama. She's still evil.
Wow. So what are your first of all, do you view being a sugar baby as like a side job?
I feel like all relationships are work.
Yes.
Friendship included. So, it takes time out of my day. It takes time out of my space. So is it a job? I don't think it's a job as employment, but just something
you're getting paid for it, though.
True.
Well, and it's not a real on your end, it's not an emotional relationship.
This is all good points, but I don't consider it as a job.
Okay.
Though I really should, because there are certain hours I gotta be there.
That's my next question. Like, what are your duties as a sugar baby?
He requires that I spend weekends with him. So
Requires. So how does he require it? Like, what is he saying? Bitch, you better get your ass here, you evil woman.
Basically. So like Fridays after I drop my son off to his dad's house, I should be there by like 8:30. And I should report when I'm leaving the house.
You have to like call back to him and let him know about
before
your movement.
I got here, I was like, babe, I just left school. I'm going to meet up with some friends. I will be back around 6.
Oh my God. He's gonna come find us.
We gotta get a cool the fuck out of here.
We've kept her too long.
So being the dominant person I am, it's not really asking permission, but being respectful and considerate that I'm not there, because he'll come back from work and expect to be in the house, and if I'm not there, he'll ask why and or call.
So he's possessive?
In a way, yes. He requires that I answer the phone anytime he calls. So missed phone calls are an issue.
What happens after?
Well, he's petty. So if I miss a phone call and I call him back, he will deliberately not answer my phone call.
What a guy.
And then call me back.
Who has the patience?
What a guy. Why are you nodding over there, Juan? That is too what I do.
Oh, no. Okay. Very petty.
You're fucking him?
Yes.
What's that like?
First it wasn't.
Oh my God.
And this is the disclaimer, because first it wasn't a sexual relationship. I was getting favors and money just for companionship, mm-hmm. Like chilling with him at his house. Mm-hmm. It became sexual on my terms. Good. Just because it was a while and I ain't had no dick, and I was like, well,
dick is dick.
It'd be like that.
Let's find some dick. Mm-hmm. Here it is.
Do what you gotta do. It's giving me money. Okay.
Sex is still on my terms. We have sex when I wanna have sex.
Mm-hmm. How frequently is that happening?
Yeah, let's say once a weekend.
Okay.
Depending on where I am, how I feel, things mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. I do not enjoy sex with him, only because his dick is smaller than I'm used to.
Here we go, the small dick shaming again.
No. There's no problem with it.
She didn't say it was small. She just said smaller than she's used to.
That's medium dick shaming then.
It's preference stating.
It is. Thank you, Brianna.
You're welcome.
Wait, this is my show. You guys not taking over. Okay, continue.
And he does come fast. So.
Oh, man.
But there's a sense
Wait, what's fast?
Let's say within 5 minutes.
Oh, my God. Fast.
He's hitting it and quitting it.
Literally. He does try to make sure I get mine through head, but that's. Not my
head
style.
Game is trash? Oh,
no, okay. Head game is wonderful, but that's...
Okay, that's... He's trying.
I do orgasm from penetration, so mm-hmm. 5 minutes doesn't do much for me.
So, does he know... So, you're not coming, then?
There's levels to orgasms in my book.
Okay.
And coming from head is different than coming from penetration.
Okay.
You know, I'll take it however I get it, but I would prefer the latter than the former.
Okay. So, you're... You're not coming from penetration because
yes.
it's too short. Does he know that?
Yes.
Oh, and that's why that. He gives you head afterwards?
Or before.
Okay.
Whenever it gets in there.
So, wait. You're unsatisfied.
Mm-hmm.
Does he know that you're unsatisfied or does he realize?
We've never talked about it outright.
Uh-huh.
I feel like subconsciously he knows.
Okay. But is he trying anything? Like, would you enjoy the relationship? Well, no, because he's a bigot and an asshole.
Yeah, exactly.
But... Would you enjoy it better if, like, he was trying to spice up the sex game? Is that something that you would ever suggest?
No, just because these are kind of fundamental things you can't change.
What do you mean?
Like, I don't feel like, unless he's popping Viagra, I don't feel like he can last longer. And that's...
Oh, but I'm saying, like, if you really want to get into stuff, like, he could throw on a strap-on that's bigger than his dick and he can fuck you like that.
This is a man Wait, with problems with homophobia and transphobia.
Okay. I forgot about who he was.
Deviant lifestyles and sex toys are not...
And that's why bigotry hates everyone. Exactly. Hurts everyone. Hates everyone. Okay. I'm sorry that you're having bad sex with him.
Me
are
too.
You having good sex with anyone else?
I am actively looking for dick on the side.
Should we shout you out?
No.
Okay, sorry.
No. But I am looking for dick on the side. If it works, it works.
Have you had any other relationships or been with other dudes while
I had
being
a one night stand a couple weekends ago.
Nice.
Was like, I have a mission this weekend. Let us.
Was that good sex? Okay, everyone's failing a coup and I'm getting tight.
My life has not been
good.
Nothing
Wait,
but
it wasn't.
Fair.
You said it was good. Yes, you. Okay, never mind. You was.
Did I? I was going, girl. I was going.
You did. Ah, oh, damn.
It right, was that's good. Why yeah, I'd rate him an 8, okay. a 7. So I can't say, oh my god, I died. Like,
okay.
But it was all right.
You can have good sex, but also have good sex with someone you're not, like, you don't have that chemistry with.
Yes.
And then it's just kind of like, well, that felt good. But
mm-hmm. yeah. It did the job, but.
Okay, and that's the only person you've been.
So far, yes.
So
sugaring.
You're about to break this off, but let's say you weren't. Would it even be possible for you to be seeing someone at the same time, even if he doesn't know?
Yes, it'd just be a lot of lying. I'm with Brianna right now. I'll be home at 8.
It's always Brianna.
Brianna's
always the cover story.
It'd be, oh, my son's not going to his dad this weekend, so I'll see you next weekend. It'd be a lot of lying, covering up.
You think he would realize?
He's smart. Maybe.
So about this relationship... You're given that sexually, whatever, it's not fulfilling you. What do you have to give to him emotionally?
It is a lot of emotional support just because he has a volatile relationship with his baby mother. So that's a lot of stress and that's a lot of ranting that I have to listen to. Kind of just companionship, someone to hang out with Friday nights, you know, Saturdays, spend time with, watch TV. We don't do nothing spectacular. We watch TV. We cook together.
Aww.
We don't go outside much, but that's because I'm not that much of a social person.
Mm-hmm.
But if I said, hey, I want to go to dinner, we're going. If I said, hey, let's go to the movies, he took me to see Get Out. And I was adamant about that. I was like, so this movie shows at 11:45 in West Bubblefuck, Long Island. Let us go. These are the tickets. What's your credit card number? We're mm-hmm. going. And we went.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm a homebody, so sitting at home with him, and it's wintertime, so sitting
yeah,
at home
exactly.
with him is not an issue.
Okay. So he takes you wherever you want to go, gives you whatever you want. What are the types of things that you've been getting?
I'm very Some low maintenance things. Lately, mm-hmm. so it's a lot of gas money.
Mm-hmm.
That is very important.
Very.
Yeah.
Okay. And it gets, that expense creeps up on you.
It's a lot of gas money. It's a lot of just maintenance. My waxes, mm-hmm. my nails, my hair, though I look like a hot mess now, so obviously slacking. It's just money to have, like pocket money. Mm-hmm. He bought my textbooks this semester.
Oh, shit, bitch. You are in here.
And I made sure those were expensive because...
She didn't even bother looking for the cheap ones. No, she didn't rent nothing.
Not a rent.
She bought brand new hardcover copies of everything. New.
The DSM-5 alone was $150 and I was like, so
oh my God.
Brand new everything. And I don't even read them books, so that's that. Yeah, besides that, you know, we'll go to the mall. If I say I want something, I'll get it. Mm-hmm. You know, do I want something is up to me. Is the issue.
What's the cap? Like, your car got totaled. Mm-hmm. Is he paying for that?
No, my insurance covers that, but he is paying the $500 deductible.
What?
Yes, he is. Jesus. The cap is so what...
Snaps for a Kua.
The cap really is where I set it. I don't want to be inconsiderate because, you know, he does have a mortgage and a car note. And a child and other expenses. So I'm not trying to make him broke. I just want to, and I'm not currently employed, so I'm just trying to cover the things I need day to day.
Nothing
and
extra.
Expenses that pop up, like my $500 deductible that I do not want to dip in my savings for. Mm-hmm. So things like that.
Does he ever say, like, maybe, like, you're asking for too much? Or he's like, oh, look at everything I do for you, like, trying to make you feel entitled. Not entitled, but, like obligated to reciprocate?
Yeah.
Not in a guilt trip kind of way. It's just, like, I'm very silly. So I'll be like, babe, I want to go pee. Carry me upstairs. And he'd be like, no. And I'll be like, you never do anything for me. And he's like, I take care. Like, he'll say, I'll take care of you. I treat you like my princess. But it's never in a guilt trip kind of way to, like, force me or coerce me into doing anything I don't want to do.
Mm-hmm. So you call him babe.
Mm-hmm. I call everybody babe. So it's not significant.
Are you loving towards him, though?
Yes. Yes.
How does that feel, since you don't really like this man? You're an actor. You're an actress.
Well, Kua is just a generally loving person.
Yeah, I'm naturally that way. Me and Brianna have a more intimate relationship than I've ever had with anybody else. She's my best friend. So, you know, I care about him as a person, because I care about everybody as a person. So, you know, his issues are, you know, real, and I validate them, you know. I worry when he's stressed just because that vibe comes off to me. Mm-hmm. And I care about him as a person. Do I have romantic feelings for him? No.
Got you. Okay. So you've grown to care about him as a person?
Just plain compassion.
You're just a nice... You two are, like, really nice people. I don't know how I'm friends with either of you guys.
Sam, you're a nice person, too.
You are a nice person.
To you. And to you.
And that's all that matters for us.
Well, there you go. Do you ever feel like... I feel like this is not true because you treat him very nice, but do you ever feel like it's a manipulative relationship on either end?
I guess on my end, just mm-hmm. because he is getting more emotionally attached and I'm not reciprocating or feeling that way, and I'm not lying about it either. So when he called me and told me, you know, that he was in love with me, I was just like, okay.
Is that how you really respond?
Yeah, I was just I was just like, okay. And I was like, you know, just follow-up questions, you know, when did you start feeling like this? And then kind of casually change the topic to something else.
Did he, like, say anything about the fact that you didn't say you love him back?
No, not yet.
Ooh.
So
that's definitely going to come up later.
It will. And I don't know how that's going to go. But I'm not going to lie and say I love you, too. Because that's false. And I don't like that.
Okay.
That's literally leading someone. And I don't want that on my conscience.
Mm-hmm. Good. Be good.
I remember when... It was back in the summer, late summer, and I kind of hinted that he was really liking me, mm-hmm. and I came to Sam, and I told Sam, I said, Sam, should I end this? Because I think he's more attached. And Samantha was like, girl, get your money. I'm poor and struggling. Get your dollar.
That is what I would say, yes.
I did not accept that. Because you're usually the voice of logic. And she was like, girl, I am struggling.
Logically, you need that money, though. I think on a broader level. All right, transitioning over to a aspiring sugar baby. I was about to say wannabe again.
Oh, Sam.
So what's your deal? What's going on here? What have you done recently?
Well, I recently joined the website seekingarrangements.com.
Tell us a little bit about that.
It is a website dedicated specifically to finding sugar daddy, sugar baby, or sugar mommy, sugar baby relationships. Mm-hmm. And you go on, you make a profile based on what position you want to play. So mm-hmm. I would pick a sugar baby, and then you put what type of person you are. It asks you for, like, lifestyle. What was it? Like your life. No, like, how much money you spend on a month or how much you would want to eat on a month. Mm-hmm. And then it has that in increments, and it's like low or negotiable or high or luxurious or mm-hmm. they put words to it.
Yeah. What did you choose?
The lowest one.
Okay.
Which was like $0 to $1,000.
Okay.
So, fill out the profile, ask you about yourself. It asks you for what you're looking for. It walks you step by step. There's a point in time where you just create a profile, and then they say they won't put it up on the site mm-hmm. until, like, I don't know, like a couple hours later, because they have to verify your profile. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what it is that they verify, because the only information I put was my email address.
Maybe they checked to see if it was a real email address. Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I don't mm-hmm. know. But that's it. Then you go on, and then depending on, I guess, what location you put that you're in, they start filtering in potential sugar daddies based on that location.
Okay. How's that been? Well, first of all, I feel like you've received gifts from men before this.
Don't bat your eyes
like a flirty.
Wait, what are we?
But this is how you get these things, because you're like a nice girl. People just like you.
Are we talking about something specifically?
No.
Okay.
Just in general, people just give you stuff. Yeah.
I've been blessed to work where I work. Huh? I have been blessed to work where I work.
One man bought you a pair of shoes.
Tell us about all the things you've got. You've been dabbling in the sugar baby lifestyle well before Akul was ever a sugar baby. Mm-hmm. You should have been first. Tell us about it.
I mean, I guess
man has never gave me nothing. Nothing.
Say, I buy you things.
Okay,
be my I'm not a man daddy. Though. I'll be your sugar sister.
Oh, hey. That's so sweet. Wow, that's a concept. But okay,
I've been a cool sugar sister
all my life. So
okay.
I don't think that it's ever been a situation with me and one person.
That's the thing, too. There are people who have several sugar daddies. Have you gotten several things from several people? Like, how am I trying to say this? Like, have four men given you at least two gifts?
Yeah.
What the fuck? What are you doing? Tell us
a secret. I'm a nice person.
That's it.
Okay. I'm a very nice person.
I try to be nice sometimes.
I don't know, because the majority of them, I've never had, like, sexual contact with.
Bitch, you are the supreme sugar baby. Mm-hmm. When did this start? When did you realize that men were just giving you stuff? Jesus, from birth. Oh my god. Okay.
Sam, stop.
I feel like it started when you started working there.
I was going to say when I started working at my job. Mm-hmm. Because there're just so many men around. Okay. And they gave me people would say that I was like the cute new girl in the office, and because mm-hmm. when I started working there I was so young. I started working there right after I turned 21, mm-hmm. like the fall after I turned 21.
Fresh
so
meat.
I was the youngest person in the office, and they told me, I never used to see the other girls that like worked in the building or anywhere else, mm-hmm. but they would say that I was like the cutest person in the building.
Aw, you are very cute. I
just
thought
they were just...
You're cute too.
Thank you.
Sam, you're cute too.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So like the attention just started coming. I didn't know what to do with all of it.
What are some of the types of things that you've gotten? And, like, what is the pretext that they give it to you? Do people just show up and then, like, out of their pocket, they're just like, here's a bottle of wine, here's a pair of shoes?
Sometimes, yeah. Well, no, the shoe situation was different. I get lots of bottle of wine. Like, you guys have seen my liquor cabinet.
Yes.
Half of that is from people from work.
Wowzers.
I never used to have to pay for dinner at work. Like, it doesn't seem like a lot, but...
That is.
It is. That it actually up. Is. It's yeah. convenient, because the time I was working, remember, I used to work really late. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't always bring something to eat. All I have to do is, like, ask one of, like, my guys, like, can you buy me something? Can I have some money to get dinner? And, like, it was good for a while.
So you just asked for stuff?
Sometimes.
I can't ask for anything.
There's this one guy who used to swear up and down I was his girlfriend, but it wasn't like that. We would talk,
yeah,
but we never went out or anything. One day he came... I legit just, like, took his wallet out of his pocket, took $20 out, and I said, can I have this? And he said, yeah. And then he walked away.
What is it about you? What is it about you? That's like Beyonce. That's crazy.
I was shocked he let me keep it, but I'm not complaining.
Are you ever in awe of yourself?
Sometimes, like, that day the guy bought me a pair of shoes. I was like,
what's happening? Okay, what happened there?
I went to get a wax one day, and I legit just bumped into him on the road. Uh-huh. Like, he was shopping, and I was... handling my business. And he was like, oh, what are you doing? I was like, oh, blah, 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 what are you doing? He's like, oh, blah, blah, blah. He said he was going to return some shoes that he had bought for his niece or something, yeah. like a little girl. I was like, I'll walk with you. See, walked into the store. I just walked with him. Did something
nice. I wouldn't walk with him.
I didn't mind him.
He was a nice person. He's pretty old, mind you, like twice my age.
Okay.
But I was like, yeah, I'll walk with you. No biggie. We're walking, we're talking, going to the store. He was like, Brie, you want a pair of shoes? And I was like, oh, no, no, it's okay. He's like, no, I'll buy you a pair of shoes. And I was like, for real? He's like, yeah. So I picked out these little brown boots with like a little heel on them. I wear them to school sometimes. I wear them out sometimes. Casual, wow. Comfy.
Okay.
They're like $60.
Okay.
He was like, damn, Brie, you're a cheap date. And I was like, what? He's like, no, I would have spent more money on you. And I was like,
bitch, he's buying red bottoms up in here.
First, we walked into Gap and he was like, you want anything? I was like, no, no. He's at the register. And I was like, I don't have time to like look around for anything. It's okay.
Get me a t-shirt. First of all, why didn't you call me? I love Gap t-shirts.
I'm sorry. I didn't think about it. Oh, my God. I didn't think about it. Then we went to the shoe store. He was like, we're not leaving until you get some shoes. And I was like, bruh.
The fact that he insisted.
He did insist.
Wow.
On multiple occasions.
Okay. What other types of things have you gotten, if anything? I know you get like flowers and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Those are fun. I love fresh flowers. I recently got invited to Atlanta.
What?
Yeah,
flight and
Flight
who did that?
Another guy from a job.
Mm-hmm. What?
If anybody from work hears this?
What's? But why? Have you been with this man?
When I first met him, I thought he was cute and he was cool or whatever.
Mm-hmm. How old is this man?
30. Let's go with 30. Like late 20s.
And would you say that the general demographic of where you work is older men?
There's a lot of older men, but like the new people that are coming in. So the age range is like people from my age, maybe even a little younger than me, all the way up to like people that are 55.
What's the demographic of people who are gifting you? Is it the
whole range?
Oh, so you just got that bomb pussy.
It's not nobody's everybody. Even sampling. I didn't say it's everyone. Okay. It's just certain people from every age range.
Got you. Okay.
But he's cool. He's cute. And so earlier this week, I was sitting in my car and he saw me when I walked out the building. Came, he was talking to me and he was like, we were just talking about like traveling or whatever. He said he's going to Atlanta in a few weeks.
Yeah.
For like a business thing.
What the fuck is a business thing? He's selling drugs?
It's like a side business he does. He tried to explain it to me, but I didn't really understand most of it.
He's selling drugs.
Maybe. Okay. But he was like, do you want to come with me? And I was like, wait, I can come with you? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, when? He was like, I'll send you the information. Just let me know if you're free. And I was like, wow.
Are you going to Atlanta?
I don't know.
Can I come?
I think you might have that's to pay for yourself.
That's a good question. Oh. Because that's how you see if he's really balling or not.
I don't know.
Can I bring a friend?
I don't know. I haven't spoken to him about it since. Makes me nervous, but yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Keep me updated, girl.
But in general, the main thing with these people, like the common thread of your relationship is just that you're a kind person to them?
I guess they hope that it'll lead to something.
Okay.
Some of them. Like there's this one guy. Mm-hmm. He's an older white man, my job. Mm-hmm. Really nice. He's really into black girls.
Oh.
But he's older, but he's into girls like my age.
Oh.
And he kind of, like, low-key likes them ratchet. Because he tells me about, like, his ex-girlfriends, and he showed me a picture of them, and I was like, okay, I get it.
That's an interesting fetish.
And
but young black ratchet girls need love.
That's just what he likes.
I don't think it should be a fetishizing.
It's just what he likes. And he's like, those are the type of girls he's dated, but I guess he just refuses to settle. But whatever. He's, like, invited me out to dinner and things. Mm-hmm. He invited me to go away with him last summer.
To where?
He has a boat. Bitch. And he likes to, he lives in Why Howard
aren't
Beach.
Why are we going on these trips?
He lives in Howard Beach. I don't want him to think it's more than it is.
Good, okay, good. I'm like, leave these niggas on.
He lives in Howard Beach and he has a boat. And on the weekends, he likes to take the boat up to Lake George and go fishing.
Okay.
So he's invited me to do that more than once. I had one of my coworkers that said they were going to go with me because I didn't want to go alone.
Yeah, that could
And be then it would have been like a good, like a cool little group thing. Mm-hmm. She backed out. So I just.
Damn.
But he keeps asking me. He's like, I know he'll take me too.
Yeah.
Like he's serious. I just don't want to go alone.
Has there ever been an instance where you feel like they are starting to expect stuff from you and you have to be like, no, I don't want to sleep with you, but thanks for being nice.
Sometimes it'll feel that way, like when they get real persistent, like, oh, are we gonna hang out mm-hmm. soon, like, oh, let me take you out this weekend. Or sometimes they get like a little jealous if they see me talking to anybody else. Mm-hmm. Like that's a big thing sometimes.
Sugar daddies be possessive, apparently.
Like if I have to talk to everybody that comes into the building because it's part of my job.
Yeah.
It is part of my job to talk to all the guys. Uh-huh. But I feel like sometimes people have guys have said to me, like, oh, why were you sitting so close to him? Or why was he in your space? Or why was he, like, like touching your shoulder or whatever. I'm like, I don't know, maybe he's leaning on my chair. Maybe he wasn't even touching me. Like, I don't even.
At that point, do you cease the friendship and do they stop giving you stuff?
Some of them I've had to like push away because they take things a little too seriously, or they were hoping that it would get too serious, I guess. They didn't really.
And then they stopped giving you stuff.
Some of them have stopped, some of them have not.
What is it about you?
Talking about she friendly.
I am friendly.
That's crazy.
You know what else? A lot of them have like wives or girlfriends.
Well, that seems to be and another that's why I keep, sugar daddy trend. Huh?
That's why I keep like pushing them away from having anything serious, but they keep
progressions. They're kind of living out a fantasy, huh?
Yeah, they're trying young it.
Girl who shows mm-hmm. me attention.
They're mm-hmm. trying it.
How many people do you think have jerked off to you?
Ew.
That's something I think about a lot.
I don't know. Maybe, like, for sure, like, 5.
Wait, why is that for sure? Now I'm confused. Do you know or do you not know?
To me.
Wow. That's one of the sweetest things to me.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
Have either of you...
I know it's going to write on your Valentine's Day card next year.
Have either of us what?
Jerked off to me.
You? No.
Akua, don't lie. All right, well, back to seeking arrangements. So, so you made this profile and all of the sugar daddies in your little categories range filled in. And how was that?
It was a little overwhelming when I first saw it. And I was like, I didn't realize there were so many people on the site.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the majority of the guys that I got were older. Majority of them were white. I think in all the time that I've been on the site, I've only had maybe 6 men of color.
Hmm.
Like show interest in me. And the way the site works is if someone views your profile, it'll show you who views your profile, and then you can favorite people. Mm-hmm. It'll show you who does that, and then they can send you messages. And I think I only have like 2 ongoing conversations going right now.
Okay.
With 2 middle-aged white men.
Why do you think that is? I feel like those are low numbers.
They were the normal ones, I guess.
Oh, I see. Okay. Tell us about the abnormal ones. Like, what's going on that site? What should we avoid and stuff?
They tell you, like, they give you basic instructions, like, don't give out personal information, bank mm-hmm. account information, blah, blah, blah. Beware of people who don't want to chat or people who just keep asking for pictures or stuff like that. I have a couple guys like that that'll talk to me. They'll send me a message, say something witty, ask how I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then really quick, they'll say, oh, here's my email or here's my phone number. Send me pictures to this. Such and such.
What is the profile picture that you chose to use on Seeking Arrangements? Well, tell us about the profile picture situation in general.
The picture I use is one of my older pictures from when we went on vacation to Jamaica.
Mm-hmm. Is it classy, provocative, sexy?
It's a little of both.
Okay.
There's a lot of people who don't have profile pictures, and they said that's not uncommon due to the fact that some guys don't want it out in the public that they're on these sites, especially mm-hmm. if they're like affluent in the community or mm-hmm. whatnot.
Yeah, you can like blackmail a guy.
Yeah,
or, especially if he's married or something like that.
They have a feature where they can post private pictures, but you have to request from the person to see your pictures, and they have to accept that request and show them back to you.
Have you ever requested pictures
no.
yet? Okay, you just don't care about these things.
The 2 people I'm having actual conversations with, they have profile pictures.
Okay, how are those actual conversations going?
Not bad.
When are you going on a date?
I think we're gonna aim for next week with that first guy. I gotta ask him when he's free, because he asked me when we could hang out, and I was like, We have to discuss it.
So in regards to these 2 guys, it's obviously a sugar daddy situation. Do you plan on discussing the payment situation before your dates? On your dates? Are you going to get paid for the date?
I don't have any expectation to get paid for the first date, because I feel like that's still a point where you can, like, you're trying to get to know each other to see if maybe this relationship would work out. On the websites that I've checked, because, you know, I Googled, like, how to be a good sugar baby or whatever, a lot of the time they say don't be afraid to discuss exactly what you want and to lay what you want on the table and, mm-hmm. like, you guys can negotiate or whatever. And in a lot of the profiles, the guys will say straight up, I'm looking for such and such type of relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy that I am talking to, what's his name? Yeah, he says in his profile that he's looking for someone to have that type of relationship where money is involved and companionship and sex.
Okay.
So in that aspect, like, I know what I'm getting for him, but I feel like I just need to talk to him to see exactly, like, specifically what he wants from me. He doesn't want all my time. He says he only wants, like, casual meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And even, like, when we're talking, we don't talk all day, every day, because who has time for that?
Yeah.
He also doesn't get all my attention, so.
Do you know what he does, or, like, the general demographic of what the men who you've seen do professionally?
There's a lot of, under occupation, there's a lot of entrepreneurs or finance or in finances.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. One of them was a day trader. Nobody gets too specific.
Okay. From what I've seen doing sugar daddy research, the average sugar daddy is 39 years old. 33% of sugar daddies are married. The annual average income is $273,000. They generally spend $61,000 a year on their sugar baby, so get this work. And the top three jobs are professionals, whatever the fuck that means, finance, and entrepreneurs.
Yeah. Sounds like there are a lot of...
The men who are destroying the world, basically.
Yeah.
Corporate Americans.
This is actually blood money.
Oh, my God. So that's reparations.
I mean, how many politicians use call girls or escorts or whatever the fancy name of it is that, you know, sex workers, let's say it, and are using tax dollars to do it?
Wow. Yeah.
That is very true.
Good point.
So it is those men.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, like... What do you guys think the difference between a prostitute and a sugar baby is?
I feel like prostitutes generally have like a one-time connotation. Like you call them one night, money, and they go. Mm-hmm. A sugar baby is like a legit job.
Well, I disagree with that because some prostitutes have, you know, regulars.
Well, yeah, if they have regulars, then.
And they have... You know, they set relationships with those regulars or even that one John that calls that night for whatever he wants. So if he wants the girlfriend experience. I feel like that can
really easily turn into something else.
I just feel like the location in which you meet your regular sex worker, it kind of is the parameter for it. You know, you think of a prostitute as, you know, on the strip, you know, in a hotel, motel, whereas your sugar baby can easily be passed off as your girlfriend if you wanted it to.
Yeah, good point.
In my head, the connotation I have with it is that prostitutes would be like a very cut and dry, well, not really cut and dry, but a very, like,
transactional.
Yeah, a very transactional situation, whereas I've seen a lot of sugar baby, sugar daddy situations where, like, it's turned into more than just money for sex. It's like companionship, there's friendship, sometimes it turns into real relationships, and then there's like a new trend of like mentorship. I guess depending on whatever field they're in or whatever it is they hope to do, sugar daddy will not only like give them advice, but sometimes depending on like, I don't know,
the sugar daddy's the plug.
Like finance it sometimes.
The sugar daddy's the plug.
Yeah. It's like lit. Depending on the situation, they'll like, some of them want to like, or they end up with like nurturing situations kind of where they help the girls become like better people until they move on to next sugar baby.
So a film producer who wants to fuck but will also like fund my shit
and mentor you.
Can I get
and
a podcast you. Sugar daddy? Because this is getting expensive.
Some of them really, some of the guys like that I've seen on the site, they really, some of them are just looking for like sex and like a cute person to take out and to like show off sometimes, but some of them seem like they want like actual companionship. They want someone to have like intelligent conversations with. And one of them said something about, oh, I forget what it was. Something along the lines of them helping each other grow, like, professionally and emotionally, I guess.
Wow.
I can see.
That's kind of looking for
a relationship. Yeah, like, I can see
a lot of them do
how
say
that works.
A lot of them do say that they wouldn't mind if it would progress into an actual relationship.
I can see how that works if you're in a certain field and, you know, your wife isn't and you want to speak with someone about, like, common interests, you know.
That's like how a lot of office affairs work.
Yeah, that mentorship piece coming in then.
This is a good porn. yeah. Give like a top five sugar babies tips because you're both sugar babies. You're not a freaking, what is it, perspective?
Aspiring.
You're not an aspiring sugar baby. You are
she is a sugar baby. Don't let, y'all be letting her lie and maneuver her, you know, no.
Well, my tip would be if you're entering a situation with a sugar daddy that's already married, you need to be very specific about what you're willing to do and what you expect from that situation. Because, like, remember when I was with you and we were going through my profile, we saw that guy who lives in Canada, but travels back and forth between Canada and America, and he has a wife? I'm going to need that wife to stay on that side of the border.
Yeah.
If you want anything to do
that
with
that could
me.
Be a very messy situation.
I don't want to know about her and I don't want her to know I exist. Like, that could be what you're asking for.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of guys on the site that say married but still looking. And I don't know what type of situation is, if that you're trying to cheat on your wife or if your wife already has a sugar baby and now you want a sugar baby. I don't know what y'all
That's
do.
Cute.
That's not my business. But if you're willing to enter a situation where your sugar daddy has a wife, just, like, be specific about the boundaries and whatnot. that you have for it, because that can get real messy real quick.
Good tip.
My tip is very similar. Know what you're looking for, and you know, be assertive about it. Really.
Communication is key in all relationships.
And be real. True. Be real.
Okay, cool. That was it for Fuck It. Now on to
Fuck Me,
the segment where we talk about our lives. And I'm foregoing where I talk about my life. Like, who is foregoing where she talks about
her life? That's not even fair, because last week on the podcast, you said you were going to talk this week.
I'm a liar. The fuck? I can do whatever the fuck I want.
It's her podcast.
I can cut you out saying that.
Oh my God.
Oh, Sam. Never happened.
I can cut it so that you say things that you've never said. But I have journalistic integrity, so I won't do that. Give us your fuck me, Brianna.
Okay. Really hope no one from work ever hears this episode. I guess a few weeks ago, I was like at the peak of my hodom for February.
Yeah.
Had some guys talking to me. Went out on a few dates.
Wait, it's the fact that you said peak of your hodom for February?
In the month. Like, it goes in highs and lows. Gotcha. You know, you go through cycles.
Yes.
So, okay, so I had some guys talking to me. There were some guys that I liked and some guys that liked me, but I wasn't serious about anybody or no one was getting my full attention. Mm-hmm. There happened to be two guys at work that were both talking to me. One of them took me like on an actual date and we had a really nice time. He was really sweet. He was a gentleman. And the other one, we used to talk like every day, multiple times a day for extended periods of time. And I really liked him. Mm-hmm. He was cool. The one that took me on a date, he was moving kind of slow. And the one that I really liked was kind of like an asshole. And then I met this guy that I've been talking to recently when we went away. And ever since the day we came back from that trip, which was like the end of January, him and I have been talking every day.
Aww.
And it's turning into something semi-serious.
Mm-hmm.
I really like him.
Aww.
But now that my attention is otherwise engaged with somebody I like, these two fools want to come back and start giving
As
me attention.
As it happens, right?
How do I get rid of them?
I think you just need to tell them that you're not interested in them that way anymore, as hard as it may be.
How do I do it nicely? Because I still have to work with
Oh,
them.
Nice? Okay, I'll pass that to Akua. I don't know.
I feel like my way of cutting people off is limiting contacts. I'll answer a text message here, answer a text message there, mm-hmm. and then it ends up being you say hey and I read that shit and leave you on read.
So this is even less nice.
Right?
So just like slowly ghosting. Wean them off and yeah. ghost yeah. you know, but you know, make it, it's not so harsh that you know when you see them at work you don't say hey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just hey, but don't text me privately.
Yeah, just get increasingly okay. more busy out mm-hmm. of nowhere.
Okay.
You know, it's mid-semester, girl. Tell them you got midterms on.
If you get to be the coho, we'll find out what happens. If yeah. not, we don't care.
I will kill her first.
Do you have anything?
I kind of want to be messy.
Yes, bitch. We have time.
Because, 15 minutes. You know, ever since you started this podcast, I've been putting people on. Mm-hmm. And the guy I used to talk to, I don't know if he
Sub
still
listens. Sub him. Send subliminals to that nigga.
I sub him on Snapchat.
Yes.
But yeah, I don't know if he still listens to it. And I'm like, I could just shout his name like
oh,
Chris Brown
the
did.
The one we met?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Wait,
yes, my boy.
The one that had a letter written to him?
Yes. Oh, yes, yes, him. Him.
All right.
See, we just subbing. We just subbing all through this bitch. And I kind of want to just shout out his name like Chris Brown did to Karrueche, but
do
I'm not.
Okay, stop. Stop.
We do not condone Chris Brown's behavior on this
Oh,
podcast.
I do not like that man. We don't talk about him.
Uh-huh.
But I won't.
Okay.
Just know that we're talking about you and that I will sub you on Snap next time. You know, that's it. That's it.
Let's make like a okay. pseudonym for him.
Why did it end?
He started picking up fuckboy behaviors.
Where did he get that from? How do you listen to this podcast and then start picking up fuckboy behaviors?
We learned. We actually taught him.
Wow.
A
blessing and a curse.
And yeah, so I had to cut that off just because I wanted something more serious and it didn't seem to be going that way and I just didn't want the stress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I kind of regret it because it was lit. Because I really did like him. Like, I let him meet my friends.
He was cool.
I let him meet my kid. I let him meet my mom. Like,
did you feel like he started to develop fuckboy behavior right after you introduced him to everybody?
Yes.
Wow. Men.
Like, it was like when we first started meeting, it was like he wanted someone to chill with, you know, hang out on Friday nights. mm-hmm. you know, fuck. And it was like, I gave him that. And then he was like, oh, well, time to go. Like, it became too real for him, I guess, or...
Well, then discuss that. Don't just, like, fuckboy it out.
Yeah, like,
be literally. Be like, hey, maybe we're moving too fast or something like that.
He could have been honest. We could have talked about it. We didn't. So then I had to, you know, just pull the card and be like, this isn't working for me anymore. And I gave him the option. I said, this isn't working for me anymore, but you have my number. You can keep trying. Like.
And he still didn't.
I'm just not going to pursue you anymore.
Yeah.
And he really didn't. So. If you hear this, call me.
Damn. Well, what was his response when you gave him that ultimatum?
It was just, he was like, I understand. It was a lot of, you know, I really liked you. You're really perfect. You could have met my mom, things like that. Like, he really liked me, but, you know, he just can't manage his time or, you know, he just couldn't juggle everything in his life at that moment.
So this is why Akua's son wrote this man a letter.
Telling him to get his life.
Oh, he really
while
did.
In his presence. He did.
Best story ever.
Oh.
But, yeah.
Fuck that nigga.
Yeah.
Plenty of fish in the sea.
I don't want to fuck him. No.
All right. Well, moving on from fuck me. We don't have any fuck yous this week, guys, because no one sent in anything. But if you would like to send in something, you can do so at ihupodcast@gmail.com. We take hoe tales. We take hoe inquiries. We take it all.
Tell Sam about your life.
Exactly. Thank you.
Yay.
Oh my God. What? Yay? You're just too nice.
Ask Sam for advice. She's super smart and very logical when she wants to be.
Tell her about your whole tales. I like to listen about your whole lives.
Shit is dry.
I like to hear about, like, petty hoes.
Me too.
Petty behavior is the best.
Exactly.
Share people.
Okay, so we're going to wrap the show up. Would you guys like to shout out your social mediums?
No.
No.
Damn. We got some private hoes up in this bitch. But my social media is SlamRid, and you can follow me everywhere. I'm SlamRid on Instagram and Twitter. You can follow Inner Ho Uprising on Instagram at Inner Ho Uprising. You can follow us on Twitter at Inner Ho Uprising without the G. You can follow us on Facebook at Inner Ho Uprising, and you can go to our website, innerhouprising.com. This is a search for a new coho. Sorry, ladies, but I got to keep looking. Can't just fuck you.
You really
can't
be in a monogamous relationship with you. You don't have to keep looking. We're right here.
I'm right
just here. Saying. Whatever. Akua can have it. I'll be a guest star.
So if you guys would like to be a coho, please write me at ihupodcast@gmail.com.
The real email address is ..
You're just wasting my time. You're just wasting my time by saying
good. Anything. The next time you'll learn not to be shouting
these bitches. Tell her, Akua.
So possessive. Are you my sugar daddy?
I can be.
Oh,
that tax refund is about to hit, girl.
Get this is it. When they come out. This is when the sugar daddies come out, but they're only around for like a month.
That 1 month sugar daddy.
So
situation.
Get that vacation.
They call that splendid daddy if you're not a good enough sugar daddy. Mm-hmm. The term is splendid daddy or salt daddy. You can rate this podcast. Please rate this podcast on iTunes. Give us 5 stars and write a review. And please go to the podcast meetup, which you can meet these lovely ladies and a couple of my other co-hosts on March 11th. At Vaughn. All of the information is going to be in the description for this podcast. Now we're going to leave you with a little something sexy.
Yeah.
That sounded very moany.
What's happening here?
I love it.
Okay.
I tried for the podcast.
Thank you.
You're welcome.